Welcome to another episode of the Cambridge Endurance Sports Podcast. It's a slightly different episode today, and one that really moved me talking to Dave Peck. It's amazing the enthusiasm and the genuine sense of achievement and pleasure that Dave got, not from just talking about his running and his duathlon, but you could tell that he was reliving those victories and those great days and those great times he had at an age where most people are just sitting on the couch or doing a bit of light yoga. Anyway, whatever you're doing, if you're running, cycling or sitting on the couch, relax and enjoy my chat with the great Dave Peck. Right, I'm here with Dave Peck today and in the lovely village of Lode. You've got a lovely place here, Dave, which you were telling me, you know, it's something that you built yourself, hasn't it?
Yeah, you've done well here.
And we've had a lot of young whippersnappers on this podcast, but tell us, Dave, first of all, what year you were born in.
1933. January 1933.
So you're still a young lad.
Yeah.
And where did you grow up? Tell us about...
In Newmarket. I was in Newmarket until about... I went in the army in 1954. So it was about... I might have been 1952. We used to come to Bottisham Village College to dance in class. Not classes, right. Dances. Yeah. And they used to have good... groups there, and that was smashing.
Yeah.
And that was where one of my friends, Neil Hammond, he'd met this young lady and started going out with her. But then he said, oh, I can't be bothered to go, keep going to Lode. He said, I'm back in, sort of thing. So I thought, right, there's my chance. So right. I met his ex-girlfriend, June Cornell, who come from Lode.
Yeah.
And I courted her. And 10 months after I met her, I had to go and do my national service.
All right, yeah.
For 2 years. And I went, done my training in the 1st Battalion of the Suffolk Regiment. When I finished my training, I went to Trieste in Italy, which I was in there for about 3 to 4 months. And then we got transferred to Wuppertal in Germany, and I spent the rest of my time in Germany.
Right.
And the first year in Germany, the battalion had a cross-country run.
Ah.
Well, I hadn't run for years, not since I left school.
Did you do much at school, though? Did you do running?
Yeah, I used to run at school. Yeah, yeah. I think I went to the county running events and run 880.
Yeah.
But I didn't do any good.
That's 880 yards,
I was just an average. But anyway, in this battalion run, I thought, oh, I haven't done running for a long while. I'll have a go. So I run this... battalion cross-country run and finished 22nd. And I thought, well, that wasn't bad. And I thought, well, if I do a little bit of training, the next year, perhaps I'll do better.
Yeah.
So anyway, this we done. And we had a good officer, Captain Kelly, Jimmy Kelly. He wasn't English, but he was a smashing chap. And he was a fanatic. He played...
He wasn't English and he was still charming.
Sorry?
No, I'm joking.
He used to play rugby and play hockey for the battalion.
Oh, yeah.
And so he used to take us on walks. Well, they turned out to be more than walks because us who wanted to do a bit more in a running used to get up the front of the platoon.
Yeah, yeah, and force the pace.
Yeah. And he would always challenge us. So... And then we'd get to a point and he'd say, I think we should stop and wait for the rest.
Excellent.
So anyway, I'd done that. And then in the second year, the chap who won the first year, he was in it again. And we started off, and I was going fairly well, and up the front, and with this one, the one the year before, and then halfway round, we used to go up through this wood up a sharp bit of a hill, and I used to hate it. And anyway, I seemed to be dropping this one who won it before back. Oh. When I got to the top, it was him and a young lad who was in the boxing team, and me, the three of us, were away on our own.
Excellent.
And we dropped the winner of the year before, about half a mile before we got to the barracks, where we went in the barracks, run across the square to the finish.
Yeah.
And this boxer beat me in a sprint finish across the barracks square.
Well,
so anyway, so I finished second.
Brilliant. So yeah, we got. I mean, we're going back a long time there, and we've got so many races to talk about, because as I want to, you know, we've got a lot to get through in an hour, so we better push on. So you're obviously a decent runner already in your army days.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a photo here of you on a bike, racing a bike in 1957. So yeah. When did you first start the cycling? How did that come about?
Started the cycling in... Well, I started, must have started the cycling when I first, when I was first apprentice carpenter, and met the other two who was going to Bury. So that would be 1955, probably.
Yeah.
1955. Where's that medal? Medal was 19... No, that medal and that photo was 1950.
Oh, the one from upstairs.
That must have been...
don't worry about the exact date, but you're still young, yeah. So
yeah.
So at the time then, what did you prefer, running or cycling? Because obviously duathlon in those days didn't exist. What were you into most?
Cycling.
Yeah.
I was mostly into cycling.
Yeah.
And until I done a duathlon and done well,
yeah,
then I pushed on with my running.
Okay.
And so, like, I'd run one day and cycle the next day.
Yeah.
I used to train every day.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I'd train every day.
And were you a member of a club in those days?
I was in the Newmarket Club, cycling club, all the time, and I'm now president of it.
Right. So you must be the longest standing member.
Yeah.
You must be, yeah?
Yeah.
President.
Yeah, so I'm president, and I won't... And I'm so disappointed the club has gone downhill since Steve left.
So Steve's your son, for those of you who don't
know.
Yeah,
because we must have been one of the best cycling clubs in East Anglia at the time. But yeah. So
I've been looking upstairs, and as I was saying, and you've got, and I'll put these photos on the social media, but you've got a brilliant display of all your medals, and you've got all your duathlon stuff, which we'll come on to in a minute, but you've got all your cycling medals as well, and you're telling me you're very proud of having won the club championship. As you're saying, it was a great club, and you won the club championships how many times?
10 times.
10 times, and that involved time trialing over which distances?
25 miles, 50 miles and 100 miles.
And so it was like the combined time that got
you the combined time, yeah. So I always used to select a 25, a 50 and a 100, which I could do best in.
Mm.
Knew I would, the roads, et cetera.
So
I used to always choose those.
And, of course, time trialling in those days, you didn't have any aero gear, you weren't on tri-bars or anything, you were just...
No tri-bars, exactly like
which is just a normal steel-framed road bike, yeah?
Yeah, and fixed wheel.
Oh,
fixed wheel
was
for
it?
Many, many years.
Right.
It was very, very late when we started putting gears on.
Oh,
so
right.
I'd be riding about an 81... Or inch fixed wheel,
right?
It was a 48 front chain ring. I forget what the back sprocket was, but it was always about 81 inch gear.
And I've seen up there, you know, you've done 4 hours and a few minutes for your best 100 mile. And that's amazing to be able to do that on that on that kind of bike. And actually, I'm looking there, you actually haven't even got a helmet, so you didn't wear helmets.
No, I didn't wear helmets, no. Sometimes I used to wear a cap, but I never wore a cap.
And I guess there wasn't that much traffic to drag you along either.
No.
Not
no,
like these
no,
courses on
no,
the A14 that, where
no,
people are
getting
sucked along.
No, this was all you.
Yeah.
No traffic assistance at all.
Can you remember one race in particular that stands out in your memory, a cycling race? That
I always remember once, because that was when, who was the fast man them days?
You're going back even beyond my time, I'm afraid.
I can't remember his name. That comes at me. But I know I used to go down and ride a course, and it used to start in Surrey, and you used to come up past the Swanscombe Cutting,
okay,
up towards London,
yeah,
and turn and retrace. Now, that was a real fast course.
Yeah.
And this chap, what was his name? Anyway, I was always about 4 minutes slower than him wherever he raced. And this particular day, he started 4 minutes after me. And I thought,
you're not going to let him catch
him. He's going to catch me. And if he and so I done one nut, so he didn't catch me. And I was catching another chap in front of me, and he kept looking around. And when I caught him, I said, I know who you're looking for. He ain't going to catch us today. And I finished, and that was where I done one of my fastest 25.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
that's 57
something. Well, yeah, 57.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
But, yeah.
With Newmarket Club all the time. You never
changed
club.
All the time,
club.
Yeah.
No, that's brilliant.
Oh,
yeah.
I did join Norwich ABC second claim because the chap who used to live in Milton, Phil Smith, he was a vet, and the Norwich team hadn't got a very good support for him,
right?
And so we was sort of neck and neck with each other. So I joined the Norwich second claim, and then we rode the Vets National 30 Championship, and we won it.
Oh, fantastic!
On time.
Yeah, yeah.
With his time and my time, but
yeah. Brilliant. And so all through your sort of, let's say, your normal adult life, let's say your 30s, 40s, into your 50s, were you doing any running as well or not?
No.
Not at all? No.
I wasn't doing no running at all until I went in the army.
Right, right. And then after that, you dropped it again.
And after that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, as I say, after that first Norwich duathlon,
all right, so yeah, we haven't mentioned this on the, we were talking about this before we started recording. So that first Norwich duathlon, that must have been mid to late 90s, yeah?
Yeah.
Because we first met in 1999 in Austria when I was doing the elite race there and you were doing the age group European champs there.
Yeah.
And we're just looking at your medals. That was your first age group medal, wasn't it, there? In, you got a bronze there in 1999. Yeah. But your very first duathlon, you're saying, was in Norwich. So that must have been a year or two before that?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'd been, Stephen had got in a European team and we went and watched him in Germany.
Right.
And that was an eye-opener. Because we was watching there and two young women arrived late.
Right.
And they just went into the centre of the track, stripped off naked, put their kit on.
Yeah. Well, it was a little treat
for him. Thought, I've got to do this. Anyway, when I saw, and he done that, and another one, I went with him, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to have a go at this.
Yeah.
And that was when I started.
Was the Norwich one at the showground?
I don't know where we started and where we finished.
I
know on the last run, the chap was following the last person round on a bike.
Yeah.
He dumped his bike and walked with me.
Well, yeah, let's assume that was sort of about 97, 98-ish. So you would have been already in your mid-60s, weren't you?
Yeah.
In fact, I think your first medal up there is in the 70 age, no, No, let's think. So in 1999, you were 66, weren't you?
Yeah.
So that was a 65 yeah. to 70 age group. Yeah. And just so people know, the last one that is up there is the gold medal from the World Duathlon Championships in Ottawa. And that was 2013. And that was in your 80...
Canada.
Ottawa, Canada, yeah. And that was in the 80 to 84 age group, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you had a good 15... Well, over 15 years of winning medals, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you've got three golds up there, you've got silvers and bronzes galore. And as I say, I must tell people to look at the pictures because you'll see all the different medals up there. And it's amazing that what you've achieved because, I mean, we joke about how we get older and the fields get smaller, so it's easier to win, but it's not, is it? Because you've got a battle against age and that's the biggest opponent, isn't it? So when you started doing duathlon, did you still feel like a fit young man? How would you describe your condition?
It wasn't until I come back from Ottawa that I started to feel old.
Okay.
I mean, up until
then. That's fantastic.
I mean, that Ottawa, I felt 99.9% perfect.
And that's at age 80. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about the distances because sometimes there'd be sprint distance and standard distance. I think you mainly did standard distance racing, did you, for duathlon? What, the 10K run, 40K bike, 5K run?
Yeah.
Is that what you liked? Yeah,
yeah, I done. That was all the distances I done.
Yeah.
I didn't try to do anything longer.
No. And so when you were doing those first races, can you remember when you were in your 60s and early 70s, what was the competition like and what did you enjoy most about it?
The competition was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I always remember we used to go to Milton Keynes, didn't they?
They used to go there.
And the competition was pretty good.
Yeah.
And one of the final ones down there, I didn't know this chap, but he's... when we started and that, and I thought, he seems pretty good. Anyway, on the final run, I got quite a way ahead of him, and I won that one. But then when I went to do the European Championship then at Swansea, he reversed the order of it.
Oh, did he?
And he walloped me something terrible. And I think, oh, God, I don't know what went wrong down there.
No.
But
and what would you say was your strongest part of your duathlon? Were you pretty even throughout the three sections, or were you usually making up ground on the bike?
Yeah, the bike must have been the bike was the best section.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was going pretty well on the bike for my age.
Yeah, definitely.
In them days.
Can you remember what sort of training you were doing? So let's say, you know, in your 70s, were you doing local time trials? You're doing long
I'm doing
rides.
Local time
what were you doing?
And I had circuits around here.
Yeah.
Which, if I wanted to do a bit on the hillies. I would go from here to Six Mile Bottom to Brinkley.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And up that long climb and then and around that area and back and swap
well,
and up.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to do a flat ride and try a bit faster, I would go from here to Fordham to Soham to Wicken.
Okay.
And from Soham to Wicken, across that bit there, if that was headwind, that was a real... torture.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah,
I wanted to do that.
Until you get a tractor to draft behind.
Yeah, I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
For the training.
Sure.
So I didn't, I'd go out and suffer with my trainers as well as I would if I was racing.
Yeah.
And so I had those. Another one I used to do was to get a hill in, hills, was to go from here to Fordham to Chippenham, Kennet, Moulton, and then to Ashley.
Right,
and there was a long
hilly one,
hill there.
Sure.
And then through to Kirtland and Dullingham. And the railway crossing at Dullingham, if the crossing gates were shut, I used to hate it.
Yeah.
Just to start off from there to get up there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but
I know it well. Yeah.
I would do it
because...
that was what I'd got to do for my training.
Yeah. And you've mentioned your son, Steve, who's, you know, he's decent athlete himself, and he's done some good time trialing, hasn't he? I think he's done 20 minutes for 10 miles, hasn't he? And
sorry?
Like Steve, he's a decent time trialist. He's done good sort of 10-mile times, about 20 minutes, hasn't he, for 10 miles, Steve's done?
Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so does he train with you? Has he encouraged you over the years? Has he helped you a lot?
He hasn't ever encouraged me.
No?
No, he hasn't had to... He hasn't asked to encourage me to train at all.
Do you train together at all?
And I always used to train on my own anyway.
Yeah?
Yeah. If I went out with anybody, it was only like a club run for a coffee or something like that.
Mm.
As I say, for like, well, Linda Hones, I got her into to Athens and try Athens.
Yeah.
And same as I did one of the other girls in Newmarket.
Yeah.
The other girl in Newmarket, I got her into it, and she won the county ladies championship 1 year. Oh, well, good. I didn't tell her what I'd enter her into these things, saw this.
Yeah.
And then when she knew, oh dear, yeah.
And now I'm looking at a picture here. So you did do running races as well. I've got a picture here of a Littleport 10K where you're age 78 there and you've done 56 minutes, just to give people an idea for the sort of speeds you needed to do on these races. So to do 56 minutes, age 78, I think I'd settle for that. That's brilliant. And you're there in the Newmarket Cycling and Triathlon Club blue and yellow colours. Yeah. And you've worn them throughout. What was your run training like then?
Run training? Well, yeah. I used to run round the fen here.
Yeah.
Because we used to have this Muddy Marvel 5 mile run.
Yeah, which I've done several times.
And I used to run round there.
It's lovely running by the river and the fens, yeah.
I used to run from here to Swaffham and then up towards the Newmarket Road to the pylons.
Yeah.
Which is 8 miles.
Yeah.
So I'd run backwards and forwards there.
But all on your own? You do your training on your own?
On my own. All on my own. And every run and every bike run, I recorded what I'd done.
Yeah.
And to make sure I was, you know, still on schedule.
This is before the days of Garmin's and that. Yeah,
sorry?
This is just on paper you're talking about.
Yeah. I used to check my watches when I'd finished, and then I'd write it down on a bit of paper.
Yeah.
And just before I went to Ottawa, I'd done 2 10K runs out at, one at Littleport and one at Ely, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I'd done a 62 minute on one of them,
this
and
is
63 minute on the other one.
Yeah.
And so when I went to Ottawa, I knew my running was as good as I'd get.
Yeah.
So I was quite chuffed with that.
When you got to that one in Ottawa, how many were there in your age group? Was it just 2 or 3?
How many in the men's?
Yeah.
My men's section.
Can you remember? Can't be many, surely.
I've got it all upstairs. I've got it all up there. There weren't many of us.
No.
Only one or two or three.
Yeah, yeah. Just finishing is amazing, isn't it?
And I met a chap in Rimini.
Yeah, which is another one where you got gold.
Yeah. Mm. And this chap got gold as well. He was an ex-London Cockney who emigrated to Canada.
Oh, right, nice.
And we got together,
yeah.
And of course they kept calling us the Golden Oldies. Anyway, when the championships was Ottawa, I didn't know where they was, but I had an email from him, and he said, the championships in Ottawa, you've got to come.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I've got to come. So anyway, I went there. He was in the group above me.
Really?
Yeah.
He was 85.
And I kept in contact with him, and he'd been in hospital and had been ill.
Yeah.
And he didn't know if he was going to be okay. But anyway, he kept pestering his doctor and, And I kept saying, well, how was it? And he said, my doctor said you'll be fit and you'll be able to race.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went and I ran and finished and won. And it was only him and an American who had run against many times before, because the American beat him. But he finished second out of the two
because
the Ottawa press people were mad about photos and whatnot.
Sure, sure.
And I found out 7 months before he'd just finished his last lot of cancer treatment.
Really?
Yeah, and he'd had cancer.
And he was 85 and he still did that and
done the full distance.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Really is amazing. And my ambition was to carry on till I was
85
and do exactly the same as poor old Jeff, because since then he's died. But I wanted to achieve the same as what it, but it didn't work.
Didn't quite get it, but still, never mind. So going to places like Ottawa and, you've been to various places in Europe and abroad, and it's quite, you've got to take your bike, it's logistically, it's not the easiest thing to do, is it? Just to jump on a plane and get sorted out and race.
I went to most, all the places in Europe. Oh, no, we did fly when we went to Greece. That was me and Robin Taylor went to Greece. We did fly there. But the rest of the places in Europe, we went by car.
You used to drive,
because I had a Renault Espace. I bought one of them brand new when I told that house, perhaps, I don't know, when I had some money anyway.
Yeah.
And so we could get our bikes in there.
Yeah.
And two bikes and four people and all the luggage.
Brilliant.
So we just,
You didn't mind doing long drives then?
Oh, no, I loved it.
Loved it,
When I was in the army, I finished up as a dispatch rider.
Okay.
So I knew what it was like.
Yeah, yeah.
To drive on their roads.
Sure, sure.
I loved it.
And did you sometimes make a holiday out of these races?
Oh, me and June and Stephen used to just get an Espace. And we used to drive to Italy. We used to go to the same place in Italy, three or four times. Got a hotel there.
Mm.
I don't know how I booked the first one, but after that, I used to be able to ring up and just say a few words and the date
David.
And say, come and meet the family.
Yeah, of course.
And that was it. Yeah. We used to go and they used to, lovely. It was lovely. So.
Yeah, because you got two medals from Italy, haven't you? I've seen one European and one world gold. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think was your best? You're right. Dave's just looking at these photos.
Put your finger on it. We get covered with them. Oh, don't put it in there. Just press it on the table.
I'm vegetarian, remember, so we've got to be careful. We've got a bit of an insect incident there. Never mind. I was just going to ask you, what do you think was your most enjoyable race then?
Ottawa.
That was it,
definitely Ottawa.
Yeah.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Yeah, what was the course like? Talk us through it and the day, how it went.
Look, that was dead flat.
Was it?
It was dead flat. I mean, just up my street.
Yeah, and was it in the city centre or...?
No, we went out along a motorway sort of thing.
Yeah.
To do the run and turn around and come back, and then he went further distance on the motorway and run. But on the bike course, when you come and back on it, you went off the motorway and it was round like a car park or something. Because when I went round, I thought, oh God, I'm going to get lost doing this. So I really studied that because I didn't want to get out and near enough back and then go wrong on my bike.
Sure. I can't believe you prefer Ottawa to Italy. Come on.
Sorry?
I can't believe you prefer a motorway in Canada to going along this coast at Rimini in Italy.
It was a sort of motorway. not like our motorway here. A high-class road, if you like.
Yeah, yeah. But did you love it because you raced so well, or was it the actual race itself that you loved?
Yeah. At the turn, you went under an underpass.
Yeah.
And turn and come back.
Yeah.
Because on the run, I started off with the other two. There was three of us in that. A Canadian and a New Zealander.
Oh.
Now, before I went to any of these, if I could, I'd try and find out what they'd done in their national championship.
Sure, so you know what you're up against.
So yeah. Anyway, these two, the Canadian, I thought, will probably push me a bit on the run, and the New Zealander will probably push me a bit on the bike.
Yeah.
So anyway, we started, the three of us together, and we, well, they was probably running at their pace, but yeah. That was miles to, oh, I was sort of stumbling along sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's no good, I've got to get on and start running comfortable.
Yeah.
Which I did. And so, yeah, so run. And the first 10K, as we come into the transition, I heard the bloke on the mic say, 66 minutes and he's 80 years old. And I thought, yeah. Oh, good. Now I know what time I'm doing, because I didn't know what time. I hadn't got a watch or none. So I knew 66 minutes. Oh, right. I thought, well, I've not pushed myself too hard, because I, as I say, I've done a 62 and a 63 before.
Yeah, in the 10Ks,
so
yeah.
I thought, right, I'm quite happy with that. And so then I went on my bike.
And by this time, of course, we were in the era of tri bars. Did you have a disc wheel? Did you?
I never had tri bars at all.
Did you not?
Well, I bought a new bike with tri bars on from a small bike maker in up in the north. I've still got it in the garage.
Yeah.
I couldn't get used to it.
No?
I just couldn't get used to it. So I just had my tri bars, my ordinary handlebars and gears.
Yeah?
And that was it.
Did you have any deep-rimmed wheels or anything like that?
No, just I've got the two pairs of wheels I all raced on, hang up in the garage in bags, still in there.
Just think how much quicker you would have been. With all the aero, you'd have been so much quicker with all the aero gear. You'd have got yourself 2 minutes.
That really wasn't all that intensive in the tour at that time of day, were they?
No.
That was only sort of the early stages of tri bars and
we were already using tri bars in 2000.
Straight standard bike, normal gears, normal wheels.
Yeah, and so you made up more ground on the bike then that day, did you?
Yeah, I did. I've got all the results there. I finished up 11 minutes in front of the New Zealander.
Brilliant.
But, I mean, those smashing chaps, we was all in it to enjoy ourselves, which is what I think it should be.
Yeah.
No cut and thrust sort of thing.
No. Did you have cut and thrust when you were younger? Was it more, were you more about trying to beat people?
Yeah, people were more, you know, oh, he's just beat me sort of thing, you know.
But what about in your 60s, say, and 70s, what was your motivation? Just to see how good you could be? Or were you into, did you want to get, you know, European
world
title?
What was my motivation
for getting you out training? Yeah, getting you out training every day.
To just do well.
Yeah.
To just improve my times and do well.
Yeah.
All right, if I come along and beat a bloke like you, well, I was over the moon.
Yeah.
But I wasn't upset if I didn't.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed every minute of it.
I enjoyed the training and the racing.
Right, yeah, training and running, yeah. I mean, some people just say, you know, what do you do all that for? And look at the state you're in. All right, yeah, but I've achieved something.
Yeah,
they haven't achieved nothing. They've just sort of wandered around and didn't know what to do with themselves. But I've achieved something.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same with building these houses.
Yeah,
that was a challenge. I've always been into a challenge.
Mm.
Somebody give me a challenge, regardless.
Mm.
I'll have a go.
Yeah.
I'll show you what I've been doing since I've been.
And what would, what, so that was your best race in Ottawa. What would you say was your hardest ever race?
hardest ever race. Oh, bloody hell, that bloody bun in Spain.
Oh, right.
Gijon.
Gijon, yeah, God, yeah, in Asturias.
Bloody
yeah.
hell, bells. That, when you said that hill, yeah. God, bloody hell, bells, yeah. Oh,
how many times did you have to do the hill?
Twice. Well, when we went round it, this was Linda Hones. She came to there. Mm. Linda Hones. Oh, Juliet Vickery.
Juliet Vickery. Yeah, we must get her on one.
She
day.
Was there with us as well, and we rode round it. And I said to Linda, "I don't reckon I'm going to get up that hill." I got round it on, you know, on a bike. But lovely coming down. It was like a yeah. ski slope coming down yeah. round the wide road. Lovely. But getting up it, and I didn't get a medal there.
No.
I didn't expect I would, because coming to the last run, on our bikes, coming to the final bikes, coming to the changeover,
yeah.
there was... a Scotchman who had raced quite a few times before, and another Englishman, and the three of us were free neck and neck along that front at okay. Gijon yeah, to yeah. get to a changeover to the run.
Yeah.
Well, when I got to the run, I ain't got nothing left.
No,
I had American woman behind me running. And every time I walked, she would shout out, run, run. I finished fourth there. But that was the hardest race I've ever done.
Yeah.
But all right, I've done it. I survived it.
Well, the one where we first met, actually, in Austria, that had a decent hill in it as well. On yeah. the bike, which I don't know if your course was different for your race, but we had to go up it 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There were some interesting courses in duathlons, weren't yeah. there? Yeah. What was your favourite local race?
Favourite local race?
Did you do the Cambridge duathlon a lot?
Yeah, I've done the Cambridge duathlon and the Ipswich duathlon. Yeah, yeah. I've done both them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say Ipswich, do you mean Ipswich or do you mean the Alton one? Because there was
yeah.
one, at, there was
yeah,
one at Alton Water as well, wasn't there?
Sorry?
There was one at the Alton Water.
Yeah, I never done... No, I've done Ipswich and Norwich. The Norwich was the first one. I've never done that no more. but the Cambridge one, yeah, I love the Cambridge one because that was local.
Yeah, very local to you. Yeah. But just past your house practically, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, one morning at the Cambridge... A chap, I don't know how it come about, but anyway, he wanted to know where the toilets was. I said, well, I'm just going home to go to the toilet. He said, I'll have a job. I've just come from bloody Wales.
Yeah.
yeah. I used to love the Cambridge one. Yeah, as a local challenge, because I knew that course off by heart, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because that was another training circuit for me from here to Quay, 9 mile hill, Swaffham and back. Right. That was a short, sharp one.
I might as well ask you this now, because I always ask what your favourite training session is. Would it be one of those circuits or is it something else? What's your favourite, running or cycling?
Yeah, I used to love running around the Fen.
Mm.
I love that, especially like a day like today when the sun's shining.
Yeah.
I'd love the sweat would pour out of me.
Of course.
But the local circuits were more I love best. Because if I went any further, I want to start looking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to go with Linda and Pete. We'd go to Saffron Walden and we'd go one way and come back another way because coming it whichever way you come out of Saffron Walden to come back this way, you get up quite a big hill.
Mm.
And then, as I say, I met Linda in a running race in Norfolk.
Yeah.
She was injured, had been injured, and she was running anyway. Anyway, I got her into cycling, and that was a favourite ride, and casual training ride to Saffron Walden.
Nice, yeah,
because we have a chat and whatnot, and then have a coffee and cake. And
it's good, got to happen, hasn't it? And as you sort of went through your 60s and 70s until you were 80, did you change your training much? Did you find you had to train less?
No. I the only change I've done, I was trying to run a bit further.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, when I could do that 8 miles to that thing, I was trying to improve the distance.
So as you were getting older, you weren't having to reduce your training that much?
No. Mm. I never thought about
no.
I never thought about my age.
No.
All I was thinking about was getting fit. Being able to achieve it.
And of course now there's a lot of emphasis on strength training and conditioning. Did you do any of that?
No
weights, no circuits, nothing like that.
I used to have some things up above my garage, that room above our garage, and the top room we've got another long hole. I'd have a turbo.
Yeah.
And I used to have some weights, which sometimes I'd do a bit with weight training, and stepping up on a step sort of thing with holding the weights.
Okay.
But not very often, not regular.
No.
That was only a bit of an odd time or two sort of thing.
Sure.
When I had an injury on my leg, one of my legs, because I had a new hip, and to get fit after that, one of these girls who I got into triathlons and whatnot, she was go swimming, and she said to me, "Why don't you go in the swimming pool and do aqua
running? Yeah,
training.
Yeah, for no impact."
So I said, "How the hell can I do aqua training? I can't swim." She said,
"Don't need to.
You don't have to be out of swim." She said, "By a bloody bell." This is she was another stable girl.
Yeah.
She said, "By a bloody belt." I said, "What do you mean a belt?" So anyway, so I bought this belt.
Yeah.
And I put it on and I went up the Bottisham, the swimming pool. The chap says, "Can you swim?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you're not really allowed to be here if you can't swim."
Oh, really?
So I told him what I was doing and whatnot. So he's all right. So I used to go, put this belt on, and get in a deep part and just go up and down that aqua jogging for an hour.
Yeah.
And then I used to try and time myself if I was real quick. Yeah. It was always a challenge, see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So I done that for quite a long while after... it must have been the other hip I had done when I'd done that. Yeah. I used to enjoy that. I used to keep on the side, so I'm not in way of the swimmers, because, someone will start moaning and groaning.
So that's great. That's really amazing that you managed to keep training at that sort of level all the way through to 80 and you weren't even doing much weights. What about nutrition? What about your food? Were you worried about what you were eating? Did you pay attention to that much?
No. I'd eat whatever.
Yeah, even before a race, did you always...
Oh, before the race. Well, yeah, I would perhaps not eat so much, but just have something, because that would worry me if I got hungry.
Yeah.
And that would, No, I'd eat a reasonable, but enough time beforehand...
Sure.
...to digest it sort of thing.
So you weren't worried about carbo loading or anything like that?
No.
Did you take energy drink on the bike?
Yeah, I used to take drink on the bike. Yeah. Always take a drink on the bike.
Yeah.
Mainly water.
Oh, really? Did you use gels or anything like that?
No.
Never used
it? No, nothing. Nothing to try and make me better or...
No.
Or just, so that's really just great. Me.
It's all you. Like you say, with the bike, that had... you know, no, as we said before, like no tri-bars, no helmet, it was just no traffic to help you. That was all you. And it sounds like the duathlon, you kept the same spirit going there.
Yeah.
And as you say, you must have made some, mentioned a few, you made some great friendships over the years.
Yeah. From racing, oh, isn't blimey, it? It's a great sport for friends, that, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll talk to anybody. Yeah.
Even me.
I don't know where it was, but this Japanese chap, he was quite slow, but he was running. And I don't know if he's my age group or not, but I used to meet him at all the international ones. he emails me for my birthday now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I still keep in contact with him, see if he's all right. I think he must have been in the age group near me or just one below it. Because in Nancy, I raced twice in Nancy.
That's Nancy in France.
Right, Nancy in France. And the first time, I don't know if that was where I won a second medal. But the third time, the second time we went there, I missed the start because I went to where the start was the first time I went.
When I got there, was it in the big square? I've raced there.
Yeah, that's right, big square. They reckon they used to wash that square every night.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was nobody there. Where the hell's that? They said, oh, it's moved.
Yeah.
And Nancy, was there an archway or something?
That's right,
archway. Well, you started before the arch area. On one of them, and the second one, they started after the arch. So, because I went running down there, because they'd all gone. this other girl, a stable girl in Newmarket, she came there and entered. And I said, oh, bugger that, I'm not going to race. Gosh, she gave me hell. She said, I'll get bloody going.
Get going, yeah.
So anyway, I was going.
You're playing catch-up.
Yeah, I didn't catch them. I caught some, but not enough. you finished going round the park, the first one. And yesterday, I think, how many times you went round the park at the finish, I don't know. But there was a big group of, I think, a dozen foreign people in this park, and I was all running on my own, and they was all shouting, Mr. Peck, Mr. Peck, Mr. Peck. And who come past me was a bloody Japanese bloke. I thought, fuck on me, I must be going slow. But I was on my last lap, and he was still got two laps to go.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, he can't, oh, I forget his name. Yeah, him and the Canadian chap, I met him in Nancy in France, and had a chat with him. Who else was there? I can't think of any.
Don't worry. So Ottawa, as you say, was your last international race. Was that your actual last race of any sort?
I haven't since I had that blackout. Because I thought if I was in the car when that happened...
Yeah, that would have been terrible.
And if I'd have been even on that cycleway by the A10, the way I felt, I would have fell out into the road. I wouldn't have been here.
Just for the listeners, Dave was telling me about this before we started recording. So you were riding and you blacked out on the bike a couple of times, didn't you? And then you went and got investigated, and then they couldn't really find anything. But you've now got a pacemaker, which you may need or may not. We don't really know. But you're still looking well. And are you able to do any kind of exercise? Do you go for walks or anything?
I haven't been for a walk for weeks now because both these knees play me up. But I get in my garage and do a bit of wood carving.
It keeps you active, yeah.
How that all started was the Load Half Marathon.
Yes. Done that, yeah.
Edward Strubbs, the farmer, his wife...
that was the chap I was trying to remember the name of earlier.
Sorry?
That's the name I was trying to remember earlier.
Tessa Strubbs.
Well, Edward Strubbs, yeah.
Well, Edward and another chap, there was a meeting at the village hall here, the social club.
Yeah.
and they were running short of money. This is how it all started with a carving. Anyway, I said to Edward and this other chap, I said, you know, why don't you organise a half marathon run? And they looked at me, because Edward weren't into sport or nothing, nor was this other chap. They looked at me and said, well, what good would that do? Well, I said, well, if you get 100 people who want to pay £10 each to run bloody 12 and a half miles,
13,
you'll
yeah.
do well.
Yeah.
So they looked at me. I said, if you organise a half marathon, you'll get a full field and you'll earn plenty of money. So they did start it, and did they?
I won the first edition of that.
Yeah, Tessa, she hadn't got no idea about running or organising running. I mean, she took it. Her father owned a farm up near Royston,
okay.
and they bred Charolais cattle.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a butcher's shop as well. Well, Tessa was all into this, doing the office work. And so she took it on, and I told her what I could, and if she wanted to know something, she'd ring me up, and I'd say, and she'd done it right well for the amount of time.
Yeah.
The last run they had 250 entries and could have had more.
Sure.
But she's called it a day.
Right.
She said... and what I heard one of the blokes have said, that was too much bother trying to get sponsors. I said, well, you don't need bloody sponsors.
Mm.
If you've got £250 of entrance fee...
Yeah, because you're on quiet roads, you haven't got a lot of other expenses.
You can give them... But they used to give them pathetic little medal, or not medal, prizes.
Yeah.
And that really sickened me, because I thought... Mm. You know, you're making good money. All right, she was giving it to a charity.
Yeah.
And as it happened, Edward died of a brain tumour.
Oh, right.
And she done it. He died the bloody day before I'd do a half marathon.
Oh, dear.
And she still came and organised
really?
It and done
really?
It, yeah.
Wow.
And I thought, right, all right, you're giving that money to that's gone as some. And I haven't been out to get anybody else to organise it, because I used to help do all, put all the markers out.
Yeah, I remember you doing that. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. Right, we're slightly running out of time, so I just want to ask you, if you had to give advice to someone in their 60s or 70s or even 80s who wanted to get into running or cycling or duathlon, what would you say to them? What are the sort of, how to approach it? What do you think is the best way to...
I would say, well, for start off, go and join a running club.
Yeah.
Because when I started running, especially after this Norwich effort, I thought I've got to join the joggers.
Yeah,
so
Newmarket
joined Newmarket joggers. And the coach there was Jenny Grimwood, a little short fat lady, but she was good, and she put me on the right track, what to do and what not to do.
Brilliant.
And so I used to go there every Wednesday night and do what she told me to do.
Yeah.
And I would then come home and do it probably on the way round the fen or something.
Yeah.
But whatever she said
and
done, I done.
You copied that, yeah.
And
yeah.
She was, Jenny Grimwood. She was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And because then I got in with the others, runners and that, and that's when the winter come, there's cross-country running, and they say, oh, you've got to come in, you've got to come there. And I loved it, yeah.
So you'd encourage anyone in their 60s, 70s, 80s to do it, not to worry about the fact that you're near the back or... You know, or what people might think, you know, never bothers you.
It's
nice. Everyone's welcoming, aren't they?
Don't worry about what people think. I mean, people must just think I was mad running out in the fen there.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't care less what they thought.
No.
As long as I felt all right
and
was achieving something.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to achieve, get a result.
Sure.
Whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I come and see blokes like you, and I feel chuffed. Well, Juliet Vickery,
Yeah.
She was an inspiration, weren't she?
Oh, nice.
I mean, she used to ring up my wife and say, well, David asked him, will you ask David to hit me off early because I've got to be back for baby fitter by 8 o'clock.
Oh, right.
So my wife used to get involved as well.
Yeah.
She never used to moan them days, but yeah. I've had that woman ring me up again. I mean, Juliet, she's bloody lovely, wasn't she?
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
And Linda, who, she was a stable girl. Linda, they come, they go out on it by Tuesdays and sometimes call her and have a coffee.
Oh, nice.
And they call her and, yeah. And Linda, she, Ginger, oh, what was the other girl's name? The other girl was a stable girl as well.
Yeah.
And she had a bad accident, come off a horse in the gallops.
Oh, right.
And she was working for the Arabs.
Yeah.
And they give her other jobs.
Yeah.
And in the finish, they retired her on her wages for the rest of her life.
Oh, that's good, isn't
but
it?
But since then, she's got better. She's not doing any sport now, but no, she's working
she's
again.
Getting the money, yeah.
But as I say, I've got her into the ladies' championship in Eastern Triathlon.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Unbeknown to her.
Yeah.
But these girls.
Right, so we got interrupted there, but just to finish off then, Dave, as we're coming to the end of the time here, it's been fantastic hearing these old stories, and anyone you want to say hello to, or anything else that we've missed out that you want to mention, as I say, I'll put the photos up of all your medals so people will see what you've achieved, and it's amazing how much you've done at this stage in your life, and anything else you wanted to say and for anyone?
No, just good to see you.
No, and great to see you.
Pleasure to come and talk to you about everything.
Yeah. I'm guessing you don't do social media, do you?
Sorry?
You don't do social media, you don't do Instagram or Facebook or anything like that?
No. Oh, God, can't get used to the computer, blimey. So I'm too old.
If anyone's listening to this and they remember racing you or anything like that, they can perhaps contact me and I'll put them in touch.
Oh,
or your son,
I'd
Steve.
I'd love to be in contact with the old people. Yeah. All the cycling and running and memories. I love it.
Yeah.
Keeps me going.
Yeah. Well, I've just looked at some of your wood carvings and they're fantastic, and wish you all the luck with that. And I'm sure you'll keep active and keep challenging yourself. And it's been fantastic talking to you, Dave.
Yeah, oh, good.
We're shaking hands now. Well, a chat like that with someone like Dave, someone of his age and experience, it goes beyond sport, goes beyond duathlon and running, and it really gives us something about how to face life, how to approach sport and approach life in general, and to hear Dave's enthusiasm really coming through there was fantastic. I hope it came through in the audio as well as in person. Anyway, if you enjoyed that, please rate and review us on iTunes or Spotify or whatever your podcast platform is. Share the episode and spread the word. And we'll be back again soon with another episode. In the meantime, keep enduring.